So we've been going through the book of Romans, and we'll continue plowing through Romans all the way through August yet. It's a very rich letter written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and very informative for our entire faith. And for the past few Sundays, and really from Romans chapter 5 to chapter 8, it's kind of a contained section by itself, Paul talks about what it means to live as a person who is a person of faith, a person baptized into Christ. In baptism, Paul talks about back in chapter 6 how the sinful flesh has been crucified, killed, drowned, and now you live to God. But then Paul looks at our present reality, and in our present reality it makes clear that that sinful flesh takes an awful long time to finally die. And in fact, it really doesn't die until, well, we die. And then at only that point are we truly liberated from our sinful desires. And so from this day until that day, we fight this battle. We strive against our sinful self. As we heard, I think it was last week, we try and we live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And so this battle is a difficult one. It causes us to cry out, as Paul cried out, "Wretched man," or "Wretched woman that I am, who can rescue me from this body of death?" And so we do, we fight by the Spirit, and we struggle in our effort to cast off sin as though it's a bad and dirty piece of clothing. Resist temptation and live then how the Lord desires for us to live. But you can't help but think that it sure would be nice if at that moment we were baptized or we came to faith, that at that very moment, there would no longer be any temptation. That at that moment, we would no longer have to struggle against sin. That once you came into faith, those sinful desires would just be gone for good, and life would just be easy. But it's not easy, is it? Those sinful desires within us, whether they're great and powerful things like temptations to drugs or alcohol, those kind of things, or even the small things, they're just there. It would be wonderful to be fully and completely free of those aspects of our lives that just seem to infest us. Things like a bad attitude or your propensity to be angry, your short temper, that problem that you have with your sharp gossiping or sarcastic tongue, your wandering eyes, that covetous and desirous heart. But no, these things are there. And though you and I are redeemed by Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are forgiven by Him. What faith in Christ has done is it has awoken us to a knowledge of those things that we know we shouldn't do. It's awoken us to a battle that all of a sudden is there. Granted, as we grow older, as our faith matures, those temptations maybe don't present themselves as strongly, but they will be there, as I said, till that day we're laying on our back in a coffin right here in front of our family and friends in the church. And Paul warns us about this. The last few chapters have been all about this battle with the flesh. How we are a person who is fully claimed by the Lord, but yet still lives in a world and in a body and soul that is frustrated by temptation. That the baptized believer endures this battle and encounters what Paul brings into the conversation now, which is suffering. Romans 6, we heard that we were baptized into the death of Christ. And we heard this language, that we were baptized and buried with Jesus. We were united with Jesus. We were crucified with Jesus. We died with Jesus. Now in Romans 8:17, we hear that if we are children of God, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, or actually since, you suffer with Jesus. The language is plain and clear. You, as a Christian, now suffer with Jesus. Living according to the Spirit, living as a Christian, living as one whose mind is now to be preoccupied with the things of God, loving God and loving neighbor, not the desires and the attitudes of our heart and our flesh. Living this way produces suffering. You and I now suffer with Christ. To fight against temptation, to resist sin, is to go against the world and the world's way, and the world doesn't like to let go of its people. It will fight you on this. When you tell your friend, when you tell your boyfriend, your girlfriend, when you tell your business partner or your family members, no, I can't do that. No. I can't go there with you. No, I won't be part of that. And your reasoning is because those things go against the word of Christ. Those things do not honor the Lord. You will suffer with Christ because of your allegiance to Him. When you fight against temptation, when you push back against the desires of your flesh, the desires of your heart, you suffer with Christ. And suffering with Jesus can lead to loneliness. It can lead you to feel abandoned. It can lead you to a place where you don't get to enjoy the creature comforts that some others might get to enjoy. It leads to abuses. It leads to frustration. Maybe even doubt. Because you suffer with Christ. And think about what that means. Think about how Jesus Himself suffered. He suffered temptation, like you and I. He went through 40 days of temptation, but He resisted. He suffered when His Father called Him to do His Father's will, which was to go to the cross for you. And before He did that, He suffered in the garden through prayer, crying to the Lord so that His sweat actually contained blood in it. So great was the stress of His suffering upon His body that His blood was mingled into His sweat. He suffered the loss of His friends. They abandoned Him at His time of need. He suffered the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter. Christ suffered. And you now suffer with Christ. How might our suffering be any different than His? The beauty, of course, is that Christ went through His suffering for you, for your sake, that you might be forgiven of sins and that you might have what Paul talks about in this part of his letter, this beautiful language that he gives, Because no matter how feeble your faith might be, those who are baptized into Christ, those who are people of faith, who cling to the Lord, are children of God. You have received the Spirit of adoption. The Lord has claimed you away from the world and has made you His child. And just like Jesus, the Son of God, you are now sons and daughters of the living Lord. And just like Jesus cried out to His Father, "Abba, Father," so you too can call out to the God of the universe, the one who created everything by His word, who oversees everything, who has always been and always will be. And you can look at Him and say, "God, my Father, come to me. Help me." You can cry out to the Father as a precious little child calls out to her father for help. As one adopted by God the Father to be His child, you are then privileged. Privileged to receive that which is owed to a child, or given to a child is better to say. You are privileged to receive a glorious inheritance, just as Jesus Himself received the inheritance of His Father. This inheritance is the assurance that the Father is the Father to you, that He will remain there with you intimately through your sufferings, that He will be your comforter, He will be your peace, He will be your guide, He will see you through all things. Part of your inheritance is to receive the Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the giver of life itself. And Romans talks about this life as and this Spirit as though it's just a down payment of the things to come. Just a sampling of what awaits you. This is the down payment. If in fact, or since you suffer with Christ, you will also be glorified with Him. You suffer with Jesus, you also will be glorified with Jesus. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy or not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to you. Our suffering in this life means nothing compared to what God has in store for us. It sure isn't fun to go through, that's for certain. It sure isn't fun to go through the temptations, the sin, and all the things that travail upon our flesh, upon our bodies in this world. But we have this promise that those things do not compare one little bit to the glory that awaits the sons and daughters of our Lord and Father. That moment when our adoption as children of God becomes fully complete. When the Lord returns in full and your wretched body of death is fully, gloriously redeemed, brought forth to live forever with Jesus Christ, the Son, and God your Father forever. Amen.